Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Divine Parables, a series here on the Qalam podcast, which explores the metaphors, the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us within the Quran. Mufti Hussein Kamani will go through in-depth an analysis of all the different parables that are present within the Quran. So inshallah, go ahead, listen, benefit, share with family and friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Before we get started with the session, once again, I wanted to remind everyone that alhamdulillah, Qalam is dedicated to bringing this kind of understanding and knowledge of Islam to each and every single person all around the world. We ask you to become our partners in this endeavor by supporting the work that Qalam does by going to supportqalam.com. Supportqalam.com. Go there, contribute, donate, become a sustainer, and have this as a sadaqah jariyah. Every single person that will listen, that will learn, that will benefit from it, you will have the reward of that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now let's get on with the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. We continue our Ramadan long series on divine parables. Throughout the month of Ramadan, we've been examining different verses of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents examples. And today I wanted to share the last three verses of Surah At-Tahrim. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, each person's merit is dependent on what they accomplish, what they do in their life. Sometimes people will tell you that because you are from so-and-so family, you can't get far in life. Or someone may make you think that because you're a poor person, you are limited and you can't be very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone may tell you that because you aren't from Arab descent, that you're limited in how far you can grow in getting closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these things are actually not true at all. It all boils down to the individual. If a person's father committed a crime, that does not make you a criminal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. How far you go in life, what you accomplish, what you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, all of this is dependent on how far you're willing to go, how much are you willing to sacrifice. And this is the summary of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents in these last three verses of Surah Tahrim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents to us four examples in three verses. The first example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of the wife of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. And Muqatil says her name was Waliha. The second example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of the wife of Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam. And Muqatil again says her name was Wali'ah. That was her name. Now these two people, these two individuals, their examples are actually bunched together in verse number 10. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that these were two women who were the wives of great prophets. If there was such a thing that people can gain Jannah simply through wasila, through citing a connection, you know, that I have a connection of so and so, so give me Jannah, Ya Allah, Allah would surely give these two people Jannah. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about them, He says in the Qur'an, فَخَانَتَاهُمَا, both of these women deceived their spouses. They deceived these prophets. How did they deceive them? Nuh alayhi salam's wife, she would walk around and she would tell people, إِنَّهُ مَجْنُونَ, that my husband is a madman. He's crazy. People would mock Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. She would join them in the mockery. As for Lut alayhi salam, his wife, she knew that the people of Lut alayhi salam's community were very hyper when it came to their sexuality. So when Lut alayhi salam would have guests over, when people would be visiting, his wife would go and tell the people of the community that Lut alayhi salam has people visiting. My husband Lut has someone visiting. Why don't you go and make an advancement towards that person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because they betrayed the message of their husbands, now even though there may be a marital relation that exists, but unfortunately there is no spiritual relationship. فَخَانَتَاهُمَا فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَ عَنُهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Their husbands were of no good to them. They did not benefit from them in this world. They will be of no benefit to them in the hereafter. وَقِيلَ دُخُلَ النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. Allah will say to them, enter into the fire of hell with the people that are going to the fire of hell. From these verses we learn that sometimes you may have relatives who are related to you through blood, but there is no spiritual bond there. And that spiritual bond is dependent on whether that person is willing to follow your legacy or if you're willing to follow their legacy. Many people will say, my grandfather was a great muhaddith. That's amazing. I'm really happy to hear that. Tell me about yourself now. People will say, my son is a hafiz of the Quran. That is amazing. I'm happy to hear that. Tell me about yourself now. Tell me something about you. My brother is a great scholar. My sister is a great scholar. Alhamdulillah. May Allah give them Jannah. Tell me about yourself now. What have you accomplished? What have you done with your life? Or are we going to continue to let other people define who we are? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in these verses, you reap what you sow. Look at Nuh alayhi salam's example. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his wife. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his son. The flood came. The skies were pouring. Nuh alayhi salam saw his son. How many parents are there in the world today? We made dua for them right now in the Khatm al-Quran. How many parents are there today in America who are crying because their children are leaving Islam? It's so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate. It's not now only a weekly thing that we imams deal with. It's multiple times a week. Just this week itself, sitting in this masjid, I must have at least spoken to 4 or 5 parents telling me individually that their children were leaving Islam. Just in this community, in the last week. Now I'm not talking about over the last 5 months. This week alone, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It's become such a common occurrence. And that parent's heart hurts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nuh alayhi salam, you can imagine how much his heart must have hurt. Not only did he see his child not being a Muslim, but he saw his child being punished. He must have been crying. I spoke to a mother recently who said that my son says he's no longer a Muslim and I can't sleep at night anymore. She says, I cry myself out. Imagine Nuh alayhi salam, how much he must have cried. Knowing that he will have a high maqam in Jannah, but he won't have his son with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he says, إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِ إِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. That, oh Allah, my son is from my family. Your promise is true. You promised to save my family. You are the most just of those who rule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He is not your child. You may have a blood relationship, but he wasn't a righteous person. And there is a spiritual bond that's actually much more significant than the blood bond. How many sahaba were there? Look at Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu in the battle of Badr. He told his father that had I seen you trying to attack the Prophet, I would not hesitate to put you down. Because we have a blood relationship. But more important than that is my spiritual bond with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father was telling him, his father became Muslim after Fatah Makkah, you know, later on. But he's telling his son that, you know, in the battle of Badr, before I became Muslim, I saw you in the battlefield and I spared you because you were my son. He then said this to his father, that I have a bond with you, but I want you to know my bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more important to me than my bond with you at that point. Because at that point, you were standing in the battlefield against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the first example. Now, in the next two verses, verse number 11 and 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example of two great people, again, two women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, by giving us examples of these four women, that male or female, in particular when it comes to women, because many people, they feel like they can infringe on women and define who they are, but Allah is telling these women that you define who you are. If you're lazy and sloppy, go read verse number 10 and see what happened to those women. But if you're patient, if you're committed, if you're devoted, then look what happens to other women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of two women, the wife of Fir'aun and the wife and the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. The mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. The wife of Pharaoh she becomes Muslim. Fir'aun finds out. He ties her up, has her body nailed into a plank of wood, and he begins to torture her. And he tells her that this faith of yours will take everything away from you. You've lost all of your honor, all of your prestige, and he's beating her. The Mufassirun, they quote, that he would make her lie under the sun, and the sun of Egypt would beat down on her body directly, and her skin had reached a dark color because of the burn effect. And this lady is lying there, and she continues to say, La ilaha illallah. Fir'aun begins to tempt her, and while punishing her, he turns the bed that she's lying on, or this plank of wood that she's lying on, towards the palace. And he says, you had all of that, and today you're losing it all. And when he begins to tempt her with the house in this world, she says, رَبِّبْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ Oh Allah, he tells me that I'm losing my house in the world, build for me a house in paradise. رَبِّبْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ Save me from Pharaoh and his actions, and save me from a people that are oppressive. And in the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the story of Maryam alayhi salam. She was a lady that was young, and she was tested by Allah. The Jews, when they saw her carrying her baby in her hand, they began to accuse her. Right? يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ امْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّةً
What happened? Your family was a righteous and good family. Look at you. And they begin to accuse her of things that are not appropriate to even attribute to this pure, pious, righteous lady. And she remained patient. She didn't let other people own her. They did not get the chance to dictate her life. Sometimes people will come and say, you're a bad person, like they tried to say to Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam. But she didn't give in. Haters can hate. This is what she proves. I will remain devoted and focused, connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and victory will always come to those who trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in summary, I won't translate the verses. You can read the translation yourself. Verse number 10, 11, and 12. The last three verses of Surah At-Tahrim. At-Tahrim is the last surah of the 28th juz of the Quran. You can read the translation in detail yourself. It's more, for the most part, it's straightforward. The lesson that we learn from these verses is that you have to write. You have to build the narrative in your life. You have to focus on yourself. Don't let people dictate who you become. If your father smokes cigarettes, it doesn't mean you have to smoke when you grow up. Bad is bad. Note it down, acknowledge it, move away from that. If your father does dhikr every day, that's a good thing. Connect with your father on that point. Your husband doesn't pray salah, don't imitate him in that. He will be held accountable for not praying salah. You continue to pray your salah. Just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean you need to do it as well. You choose what you should be doing. And the haqq, the truth, the beauty of it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses it to the hearts of certain people. And usually the people that are following the truth are few in number. But they are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to choose the right path in our life. Allows us to be people of patience and perseverance. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires us with the example of the wife of Pharaoh and the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.